It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Money Pit is presented by Omaha Steaks, DAP Amp Sealants, RoofMax, and the Angie App. Now here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Welcome to episode 2316, and we are here to help you take on projects around your house. If you feel like you got a money pit, we get it. Or maybe you feel like you have some projects to take to improve the space that you live in right now. Maybe you're happy with it. Maybe it's in generally good shape. Maybe it's old. Maybe it's worn. Maybe it's inefficient. Maybe it just doesn't work as well as you want that space to work. Well, give us a call at 1-888-MONEYPIT because we can help you through those options, including some we can almost guarantee you probably haven't thought of before, because that's what we do. We've been at this a long time, and we love helping you get those jobs done around your house. Coming up on today's show, creating an outdoor living space beyond the four walls of your home is definitely a popular home improvement project, especially right about now before it turns really hot. But how do you decide which is best for your home, a deck or a patio? Well, we're going to walk you through the options.
And if your home happens to sit on a busy road or maybe next to just some noisy neighbors, you might have found that getting a little peace and quiet can be quite a challenge. Well, we're going to share ways that you can reduce the noise with very strategic landscaping.
And we're also going to talk about bugs that bite. No, not you. We're talking about bugs that bite your house. You know, as the weather warms up more every day, it is termite swarm season. So what do you do if you spot a swarm of flying wood munching bugs at your house? Well, the first thing might be to make sure they are actually termites. So we're going to share a simple tip just ahead.
But first, we want to help you create your best home ever. So whether you're doing the job yourself or hiring a pro, we are ready to help you get that job done right the first time.
So reach out to us at 1-888-MONEYPIT, or better yet, go to moneypit.com/ask and click the blue microphone button. You can record your question, ship it out to us, and we will get back to you as soon as possible with an answer. So let's get to it. Leslie, who's first?
All right. Well, with the summer kicking up, everybody's thinking about air conditioning. And we've got Thomas in Louisiana who needs this AC cranking almost year round. So what's going on?
I recently purchased one of those AC, portable AC units where the ducting can either go out the window or the door or something like that to release the heat out. Because the I'm having issues in my attic with the central system, the ducting in the attic. I'm having issues with either squirrels or mice or rats or something that keeps chewing holes in the ducting in the attic. And every time I fix it, it happens again. So the attic is very nice and cool, but the rest of the house, not so much.
The rodents are comfortable.
Yeah, right. And this house was built in the 60s, so the crawl space in the attic is extremely tight and very difficult to maneuver around. So for the time, I decided to go with a mini split system to bypass the ducting, and I'm going to do ceiling cassettes with a mini split system. But for the time being, I got this portable unit, like I said, which has a normal 110 plug on the end of the cord. But it's a heavy duty unit. It's 18,000 BTUs, and it's tripping almost every breaker, it seems like, in the house. And at one point I checked the, I went to unplug the extension cord, and the end of the extension cord was pretty hot. And so I don't know what to do to be safe and also have this thing going properly. The extension cord is a 100-foot extension cord, so it could be that it's too long.
Well, why do you need such a long extension cord?
Because I'm having to go to different plugs throughout the house. The circuit breaker box is not labeled like it should be, so I don't know what breaker goes to what outlet, and I'm having to try different outlets throughout the house.
All right, so let's talk about what's going on. So first of all, when you have a 100-foot cord, you know, the longer the cord, the thicker the wire, and this cord may not be rated for what you're pulling. Do you know if you could probably see what the power demand is on this? But I mean, generally, you're going to need a 20 amp circuit for this, not a 15, which is typical in most houses. When you blow these breakers, are you blowing both 20 amp breakers and 15 amp breakers?
Well, you're correct that it does need a 20 amp breaker. I did look up that information, and the unit should be going to a dedicated 20 amp breaker.
Your branch circuits, the 15s and the 20s. You need to have an electrician. An electrician needs to open up your panel, and they need to look at the wiring configuration, make sure it's done correctly, and then they can tell by looking at the wires, the wire size, what the circuit is. So if you have number 14 copper wires, that's going to be a 15-amp circuit, and if you have number 12 wires, that's going to be a 20-amp circuit. And so you can actually label now each circuit so you know what the power consumption is. In terms of the behavior that you're seeing right now with the tripping circuits, if it's a 15, you got no chance of that being able to handle that. So you have to run a dedicated circuit. And that's really the easiest thing to do, even though it's an expense. But you're going to run a number 12 wire from the panel all the way to wherever the central point is that you're going to plug that thing in. And you should not have any further trouble after that. I think the reason it's tripping, from what you've told me, is a combination of the fact that you probably have too small a circuit, and secondly, it's making it worse because you're running it through a 100-foot wire that may not be rated for 20 amps. I mean, it's unusual to have a typical extension cord be rated for 20. It's usually rated for 15. So I think you're using incorrect wiring there, and I think you are risking the house in terms of you are creating a fire risk in the house by doing it that way. I think this is a situation where you really need to do that. What you might want to think about, you mentioned going split ductless. If you're going to go split ductless, you're going to have to run circuits anyway. So you might want to just do this all at once. Have them run the circuits for the split ductless that you're ultimately going to do, even if it's a project you're not going to do, you know, this year, maybe next year, a year after, and also run a dedicated circuit just for that air conditioner right now. And then you're done on the electrical work.
I don't want the house to burn down. So
absolutely.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the advice, and I will follow it.
Good. Take care.
Did you know that Americans take 20,000 breaths a day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors?
That's right. And according to the EPA, the level of indoor air pollutants can be 2 to 5 times higher than outdoor air and occasionally more than 100 times higher. Plus, every spring we get socked with allergens too. Well, Air Doctor is an air purifier that filters out dangerous contaminants like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested allergens, including bacteria and viruses.
That's impressive. Now, Air Doctor also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping.
And they're offering a special discount to Money Pit listeners. Just head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code MONEYPIT, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you'll also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer in right now by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code MONEYPIT. That's airdoctorpro.com, promo code MONEYPIT.
All right, now we've got Bonnie on the line. We need some help sealing concrete. What's going on, Bonnie?
We actually had some flooding a couple of years ago, and we ended up with some cracks. So we fixed the cracks, and now we want to seal it. And we went out and bought some basement sealer, and it's so toxic and the smell is so bad that there's just no way we can use it. And I just wondered if you had a suggestion for something that's not so toxic.
So if you have a cracked floor and you've sealed those cracks with, usually you want to use silicone on that. And then if you want to put something on top of that floor to finish it, you can use one of the two-part epoxy products. They work well. I mean, yeah, they're going to smell a little bit while you're doing it, but they don't smell for long. I just did my basement with the Deich coating floor product, and it worked terrific. So what I did was, in my case, I had poured new concrete on the floor, and then once it cured, I think I waited about a month, I used the Deich flooring product on that. It was two-part epoxy. You mix it together, and you got to follow the mixing instructions. You got to do it just right because usually you have to stir these and wait so many minutes before you apply it. Then I applied it, and as I applied it, I used a color chip that comes as an option, sort of sprinkled it in there. And those are nice because it makes it look a little bit better, but it also hides dirt at the same time. It's not as visible, and it gives you just a little bit of texture to it. And then it cured it. And I tell you, within, I don't know, 2-3 days, I didn't smell anything down there, and it looked great, and it was done. So if you want to seal concrete today, I think two-part epoxy is the way to go.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, you want to support our podcast and help us grow? Well, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll be forever grateful. Plus, you'll be helping other homeowners discover our show. Just go to moneypit.com/review. Well, Father's Day is coming up, and if your dad likes steak, I mean, who doesn't? And we're talking about all the dads in your life, father figures, uncles, whatever you name it. Those dads love to have a steak, and there's a great deal happening right now on omahasteaks.com. You can score $30 off. That's a lot of dough, your qualifying order, by using the promo code MONEYPIT.
That's right. So you can pick dad up a pack of those tasty bacon-wrapped filet mignons or really any of their gourmet grillables and get $30 off your order at omahasteaks.com with the promo code MONEYPIT and totally make dad's day.
Greg in Delaware, you've got the Money Pit. What can we do for you?
Yes, I have a house that was built in 42 and stuff, and for some reason somebody put those sticky tiles in the kitchen right over top, nice hardwood floors.
Ugh. Okay.
And so, you know, it's all original.
Yeah.
It's all original and stuff.
So definitely worth saving.
How do I get the sticky glue off the wood? I mean, you use a sander, it just tears the glue on it, you know, tears it up. And I've used, I don't know if I could say a product, but I've used Goo Gone. I mean, and it just doesn't do any good. I mean, it actually turns portion.
What kind of sander are you using on it?
Well, I had a belt sander that I had, and then I used a palm sander, and I tried to use different grits.
All right, so I would stop right there, Greg. I would call in a professional floor refinishing company and let them do it with their tools. You can sand that stuff off, and their sanders are big 12-inch wide belt sanders with varying types of grit on it. And mm-hmm. I think if you have them come in, they're going to sand this floor tonight. Generally, don't recommend belt sanding because it takes some of the life of the floor. But in your case, when you have adhesive on it, it's the best way to do it.
It's the only thing that's going to work.
But have a pro do it. They've got the right tools. You don't. And it'll just save you a lot of aggravation. It's not terribly expensive. You know, if you want to save money, you can even just have them sand it and not finish it. And you can finish it yourself. But their finishes, generally the pro finishes, are better than the ones that you can buy over the counter, so to speak. So I would leave this job to the pro. Because it requires their specialized tools. Don't even rent the tools yourself because you're not going to have the skills to use it, and you could ruin the floor using a tool like that.
Yeah, and so no chemicals would pull it up without.
No, I wouldn't do that. I just have it sanded off. It'll look so good when it's done.
Okay.
All right, Greg. Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888 Money Pit.
Well, creating an outdoor living space is a popular home improvement project and the least expensive way that you can extend your living space. But how do you decide what's best for your home, a deck or a patio? We're going to help you decide in today's home solution tip presented by Angie. So first of all, guys, you got to consider the space that you have to work with. If it's ground level, for example, where the ground is a foot or so lower than the door, a patio is really going to be your best option. Building a deck that low to the ground really means that you have to bury part of that wood frame, and that's just never a good idea.
Now, from a DIY perspective, a patio is definitely a possibility. Brick, natural stone, cement pavers, those are all the main paving choices and materials, and all three varieties are installed in a sand bed with irregularly shaped natural stone being the biggest challenge to work with because it's kind of like assembling a giant outdoor jigsaw puzzle. But you want to start your patio project really by carefully assessing that space that's slated for placement and planning for the necessary drainage. then you want to take some time to properly, and I do mean properly, excavate, level, and line the patio area for long-lasting trip-proof results. You know, the most common paver patio mistakes come from not properly prepping that base. So don't rush through that patio brick installation before the base is really set up correctly, or what's going to happen is the bricks will loosen and they will shift, you will get tripping hazards, and the weeds will come and grow through those joints just as quick.
Yeah, now when it comes to decks, the cost and the look of those decks are going to vary widely because there's so many choices of materials available. Now, a wood deck, that's really the least expensive, but you got to think about the maintenance. You know, there can be a lot of maintenance work to do. If you've got a healthier budget and tolerance for maintenance is low, well, then you're definitely going to want to spend some more bucks. So you might want to consider composite decking. I mean, it looks great. It's super durable. It's really easy to clean. But whatever the decking surface and the railing material you choose, pressure-treated lumber is generally the standard for construction of that framing and the support structure of the deck itself. And that's one reason that we say building a deck is really not a project if you are an inexperienced DIYer, because there's so many structural steps to every part of this that you want to make sure you get it right.
Well, between the very heavy lumber and the need to get it properly attached to the house, there really is a lot that can go wrong and lead to a collapse. So if it's a deck you want, it really is best to turn to a pro. Now, when it comes to maintenance, patios need really virtually none, but decks actually need quite a bit. For example, even wood that is decay resistant is going to warp and split. You need to make sure the deck is sealed within the first 3 to 6 months after it's been constructed, and then you want to repeat that process about every 2 to 5 years.
Now, whichever way you do go, you want to make sure you get a permit before you begin. That way, the local inspectors can make sure it's being built correctly, and that approval can come in handy if and when you decide to sell your home. If you want some more tips to make your outdoor living projects a success, check out the Solution Center at Angie.com.
And that's today's home solution tip presented by Angie. When it comes to home projects, they know you want to nail it every time. Angie does the heavy lifting for you with top pros who get the job done right. Download the Angie app today. Drinking water is important to staying hydrated and healthy, so having a steady supply of safe, clean water is critical. But according to research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water.
That's why we're thrilled to be working with AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and are specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply.
AquaTrue's proprietary purification technology is independently tested to remove over 80 of the most harmful contaminants, including chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, PFAS, nitrate, and many more. In fact, you know, when I compare AquaTrue with my old water filter, I can definitely taste the difference. AquaTrue saves you money, too. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water, and they have water purifiers to fit every type of home.
AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. Today, Money Pit listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com, that's AquaTrue.com, and enter code MONEYPIT at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code MONEYPIT, M-O-N-E-Y-P-I-T.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mary in Wisconsin, you've got the Money Pit. What can we help you with today?
I'm redoing my basement, and I'm wondering about flooring. It has had a rubber-backed carpet, which has been taken up, so we're down to the concrete. And I'm just wondering what would be a good thing to put back down on the floor there.
So rubberback carpet was kind of popular at one point in time, but generally speaking, we don't recommend carpet for basements because they're so damp. You can build up a lot of debris down there that can cause allergic reactions. You get dust mites and all that sort of thing that will nest in the carpet. So I would look to a smooth surface material. So your options might be laminate floor, which is beautiful. It could look like hardwood floor or tile. It's made of different composite materials. It's very, very tough surface, and it floats. It's not glued down. It floats on top of the floor. Or you could choose a special type of hardwood floor called engineered hardwood. Now, solid hardwood would not be recommended for a basement because it's too moist, but engineered is made up of different layers of hardwood. It kind of looks like the guts of it kind of look like plywood, but the surface, it looks like a regular hardwood floor. You can't really tell the difference once it's down. And I think that would be a good option as well.
I really like the carpet down there.
Use area rugs. You're just going to be sad. It's just going to cause a lot of problems. It's going to make you feel yucky. It's going to feel damp down there.
And it's a very dated look today, too. I mean, things have changed in terms of decor. And I think the solid surface of a laminate floor or an engineered hardwood floor would be much more common today.
Is there something feasible in a price range, though?
Yeah, I mean, laminate floor is really affordable. You can get that for as little as maybe $4 a square foot.
Yeah, you know what? Go online. I've seen laminate flooring just south of $2 a square foot. So there's really some great options that are very affordable out there.
Okay, thank you.
Mary, thanks so much for calling us at 888 Money Pit.
Heading out to Tennessee where we've got Richard on the line. What's going on at your Money Pit?
I've got a porch in front of my house, and it's approximately 20 feet by 32 feet. Now, there's an extra part that kind of serves as a landing, but the majority of it is a big area, and I would like to waterproof it underneath it. So I'm looking at my options to make a dry area underneath there because it's a two-level house. It used to be a garage underneath, and now it's a finished room, so we want a little deck area that's dry. And I've looked into the decking material that's sealed so no water gets in between and has a channel sort of to pick up any moisture. And then also the underdecking that's kind of like a mechanism that traps the water before the water gets to the joists.
So you have a deck right now, like a second floor deck, like a regular open deck, and you want to try to stop the water from coming through the deck and dripping below. Is that correct?
Precisely.
I'm not sure what you're looking at in terms of, decks that are boards that are tied together, but there are a lot of options in under deck ceilings. And we actually have a video about this project, how to install an under deck ceiling on moneypit.com, where we walk you through the project and what's involved and provide you links to different types of under deck ceiling. Most of the major manufacturers of decking product also and composite products make these systems. You know, there's a TimberTech has one, Trex has one called Rain Escape, there's a one called Deck Drain, I remember, and they all work pretty much the same. They're basically an assembling of channels that mount underneath the existing second story deck. They collect the water that drips through, they run it down to a gutter, and that feeds a leader, and away it goes. And I'll tell you, they work pretty darn good, and once you collect that water, that space underneath just becomes a whole lot more usable, whether it's just a hangout space or it's a place, you know, just to store. You don't have the same level of moisture and humidity and yuck that comes with it. You know, I've seen these spaces that were filled with mold and mildew and algae because they're so darn damp all the time get dry out and really become sort of secondary patio areas where you can really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going for. And I guess my question was, you know, I'm familiar somewhat with a Rain Escape, which is the collection underneath the floorboards, but these others seem to basically lock together and don't allow any water to come in between the boards. So the water has to go one way or the other. I'll have to put a pitch on it, a pitch on the boards themselves that they call for like an eighth of an inch per foot. But then that completely, you know, also protects the floor joists underneath there forever, I guess.
I don't know. I don't like the idea of that type of system. Just to me, doesn't sound like it would be as useful, as long lasting as having a gutter system underneath. Because if you're going to go through all the trouble of like replacing your decking like that, what I would rather see you do is to install a fiberglass surface across that whole deck. You know, a lot of times where I live, we see homes that are in areas where they get a lot of wind-driven rain. And absolutely, the best type of a second-floor deck to have is one that's covered in fiberglass. You know, the fiberglass decking has like a grit to it, so it has some traction to it, and that gets wrapped up under the siding, so it's virtually impossible for that to leak once it's done. And given the fact that you'd have to re-deck everything and replace all your railings to do what you're talking about,
right,
a fiberglass deck would definitely be a lot more durable and last a lot longer. I think it will be more expensive than putting in one of those underdeck drain systems, but I think it will last longer. So it really depends on, you know, how long you're going to be in the house, how long do you think you'll have to enjoy this space, and whether or not you want to make the investment.
Well, does the fiberglass stuff, do you have a brand name or anything? Are you familiar with it enough to know that?
It's not a brand name. It's just a process. You know, anybody that does fiberglass decking, you know, buys the material, buys the reinforcing material. You know, it's kind of like, it's like when you build a boat hull, you know.
You
lay up the fiberglass one layer at a time. So they do it with a roof the same way.
I see. I understand what you're talking about now. Well, that's really a great idea. I've never seen that before.
All right, Richard. Well, good luck with that project. You may have to look around to find a contractor that's familiar with that, but they're out there, and it really does come out nice.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome.
Well, if your home happens to sit on a busy road, or maybe you just have some noisy neighbors, you might have found that getting a little peace and quiet can be a challenge. You know, early homes were actually designed to be close to the road to make access easier for horses and carriages. But even now, a century later, new homes kind of stick to that same setback that was enforced when the community was originally built. But the roads today are a lot noisier, and so are the neighbors, let's be honest.
Well, that's right. That's definitely true. Now, while there are many ways to reduce sound from the inside of your home, like improving your wall structure, your windows, your doors to reduce noise, those, of course, can be very expensive and complicated projects. So instead, we'd like you to think towards ways to strategically use landscaping to reduce that sound. So, for example, one of the first things you could do is create a barrier, which means a wall or a fence. Now, you do need to check into your municipal rules and your regulations for permits, but stone walls are an option. You want to review the types and construction involved. Also, height's important to consider, as well as ongoing maintenance. Now, fence materials, another option. If you're going to go with a fence, you want no spaces between the boards. That's going to drown out the most sound and is probably a lot less expensive than a stone wall. And the same goes for a higher fence as opposed to a lower one. Higher and one that has no spaces is really going to do a decent job.
Yeah, and you know what? Live hedges actually also help a lot. Evergreens like arborvitae, they're a great choice for reducing noise and improving privacy. And they stay green all year round, and they can help reduce that sound. And, I mean, they grow quick, too. Arborvitaes, Leland cypress, skip laurel, you're going to have like a great hedge in no time flat.
And if you couple a line of hedges with a fence, then you really get double the impact in terms of sound reduction, because those hedges do really absorb a lot of that noise, even the noise that hits off those fences. So it's a really good way to go. Now, lastly, you could think about the sort of ideas that if you can't beat them, join them. Add a sound system, add a water feature or a fountain to give you something else to listen to. All good ways, though, to reduce sound in your spaces and really have an opportunity to enjoy your house any time of the year, and especially those times when it's a bit too noisy outside.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, hey guys, Father's Day is coming up, and if your dad likes steak, there's a great deal happening right now on omahasteaks.com. You can actually score $30 off your qualifying order when you use the promo code MONEYPIT.
Yeah, that's right. So pick Dad up a pack of those tasty bacon-wrapped filet mignons or any of their gourmet grillables and get $30 off your order on omahasteaks.com. Make sure to use the promo code MONEYPIT. Donna in New York is on the line and is having an issue cleaning some showers. What's going on, Donna?
Well, I work at a fitness facility, and boy, do I have a problem with one out of four of the shower stalls there. That one, of course, is in the men's room. Oh, my God, it's so gross. It constantly cakes up this slimy, brown, gross, moldy, I don't even know what this gunk is, on the walls. And I have tried everything. I use bleach, the bathroom cleaners, antibacterial scrub brush. I'm at my wit's end. I don't even know what to do.
Yeah, it's just getting away from you. Well, first of all, and I know this is out of your control, but the more humidity that builds up in that space, the worse this will continue to get. So if they don't have good ventilation, they get dirtier and dirtier because it supports the growth of mold, mildew, algae, and moss. But one product that I've had great success with is called ZEP, Z-E-P. It's a shower tub and tile cleaner. It's a commercial cleaner. It's not expensive. It's about like $7 a jug at like Home Depot. And when you spray it on, it foams up and does a really good job of cutting out that nasty combination of soap scum and then everything that grows in the soap scum, because the soap scum is like a food to a lot of those materials. And that's why it just gets so nasty. So I would try the ZEP, Z-E-P, and see how you like that.
Oh, my God. I am so glad I got through.
All right. Good luck. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Well, with the weather warming more every day, it's termite swarm season. And you're wondering maybe what you should do if you spot a swarm of those flying, wood-munching bugs at your home? Well, the first thing might be to make sure they're actually termites.
Well, that's right, because there are a lot of insects that size that look alike. But here's a quick way to identify a termite. It's about a quarter inch long. Termites are actually smaller than ants, and they have only two body segments, unlike ants, which also sport two pair of long wings and straight antennae. Now, knowing termites when you see them is a quick way to kind of squash their interest in your home, because if you do have a termite infestation, then it's important to call an exterminator. And there are lots of ways to treat for termites. What I advocate is a class of pesticides, which is really one that's called undetectable. And what that means is the termiticide goes in the soil. The termites don't know it's there, so they pass through it and they take it back to their nest. And that eliminates the nests that are closest to the house and keeps your home definitely off the termite menu.
Brian in Rhode Island's working on some crown molding. How can we help you?
I'm putting up some crown molding above cabinets. Now, I've worked with crown molding before. I have this ingenious jig that I believe it's called a cut and crown. And when you put it together with your miter saw, it does a good job of the angles for inside and outside corners.
Okay.
And what I can't figure out is now I'm trying to do crown molding above some kitchen cabinets that I've installed. Okay. And I'm not quite sure how to nail it on. I don't want to nail into the stile above the door or the rail above the door because, number one, I don't want to do that. Number two, it looks like it could split it. So I'm just trying to figure out what people do to fasten crown molding above kitchen cabinets.
So you have space above these cabinets, empty space, so to speak, between the cabinet and the ceiling?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, I think you are going to have to mechanically attach it to those cabinets. Now, whether you do that with nails or some other fastening system is going to be up to you. But is this hardwood crown molding? Is this oak?
Yes, it is.
So you're going to have to pilot drill. Anything you do with this has to be pilot drilled, because you can't just nail through it. It's going to split it. So you're going to have to get a drill bit that's just slightly smaller than the nail or the screw that you're using and pilot drill through this. Now, I wouldn't hesitate to attach it to the cabinet body above the door if I had the space. If you wanted to try to kind of hedge your bet a little bit, get a little bit more control, what you could do is you could attach a nailing strip or a screwing strip, so to speak, on top of that cabinet. So let's say you have a piece of wood that maybe is 1x1 square. Well, you attach that to the top of the cabinet. You drill down so it attaches into the top stile of that cabinet. And now you have a much bigger, flatter surface for you to kind of have some meat behind to get that nail or screw into. You know what I mean?
Okay. I know exactly what you mean. In fact, now that I see what you're saying, I might want to improve that just a little more. I might want to take something that's like a 2x3 or something along that lines and cut it out so it fits above it, but I can't screw from above to attach it. So if I've got the room,
why not? How much space is there?
It's about 4 inches.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that. No, you'd have to go. Then you'd have to go from underneath. You could go from underneath. You could drill up from the underside of the cabinet style, the front style. You can go up that way and attach it there.
That sounds good. That would solve my problem.
All right. There you go.
Abby wrote in saying, I'm a novice when it comes to home improvement DIY work, and I'm interested in refinishing to fix some sun damage on my front door, but I'm wondering how to sand and prep that door to get it ready. All right, I love that she said prep, because she knows it's going to be some work here.
Absolutely. You know, refinishing a front door, Abby, is really a great project for a warm weekend, because that's the time you really need to allow to get the job done. You need time for all the coats to properly dry. You also want to time the project. You don't want to start late in the day. You want to start early in the day so the door is really super dry at the end of the day and can be reinstalled overnight and then taken off again the next day. That is definitely the best way to do this. Now, you certainly could work on the door while it's upright and installed, but I got to tell you, the job is a lot easier. It comes out a lot better if you can take it off its hinges and work on it while it's horizontal on sawhorses. Not only is this going to let you do a better job of sanding, it's going to be a lot easier on your back too, but you won't have to worry about the finish dripping. Now, if you think removing the door is hard, it's really not, because once you pull the hinge pins, it usually comes off pretty easily. Now, depending on the door size, it could be a bit heavy, so you may need a friend to help you lift it on the sawhorse, but it is definitely the way to go. Now, you asked about sanding. Yes, you do need to sand. That's part of the prep, and certainly you could sand by hand, but it's a lot easier to do it with a vibrating sander if you happen to have one. And if you do opt for hand sanding and your door features like details, like raised panels, I recommend these 3M sanding sponges. Have you seen these, Leslie? They're like a kitchen sponge, but they're like covered like in sanding grit. So they kind of bend and they flex.
Oh, yeah. Sanding sponges are the best.
And you can get in all those nooks and crannies really, really easy. Now, in terms of the finish, I'm not really sure what kind of door you have. I'm going to presume that it's wood. If it's been stained, you're probably going to need to restain it, because as you sand it, you will no doubt cut through some of the stain that's there. So you're going to want to put a light coat of stain on top of that. And then you want to use a varnish or a varathane. I would use a marine varnish. And the reason I say marine is because it's a very high degree of UV protection. That's really the enemy. If you protect that finish from the sun, or if the finish does the job protecting itself from the sun, that door is going to last a long, long time before you have to do this project again.
All right, Abby, good luck with that project. And just remember, try not to go run a lot of errands, because obviously your house is not going to have a door while you're working on this project. All right, now we've got a question from John, who says, the only way I can get hot water through the kitchen faucet is to run the hot water only in the two bathrooms. Once they run hot water, I can then get hot water to the kitchen. This happens every morning and often later on in the afternoon, evening. What in the world is going on?
So it's really pretty simple, John. This has a lot to do with the distance that that hot water has to travel. I would bet that those bathrooms are closer to your water heater than that kitchen faucet. And that's why those bathrooms get hot first and then the kitchen last. Now, there is a recirculating tool, a recirculating pump, so to speak, that you can put on that kitchen faucet that will move water in a loop through the plumbing leading that faucet so that it's always warm when you need it. But I don't know. It seems like an awful lot of work to do just for that one faucet. If it's really bugging you, go ahead and do it. But it really is a function of distance. The farther the faucet is from the water heater, the longer you have to wait for that water to travel.
All right, John. Good luck with that, because that seems like a big pain in the butt every day.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. Thank you so much, guys, for spending part of your day with us. We hope that you've taken some good tips and ideas on projects you want to get done around your house, or maybe your family's house or your friend's house from today's program. If you got questions and couldn't get through, we understand. We're sorry for that. But if you want to go to moneypit.com/ask, you can post your question right there by clicking the blue microphone button. It's the fastest way to get a direct answer from us. Until then, I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself,
but you don't have to do it alone.
You live in the Money Pit.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.